1240WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Hello, welcome to the show. Glad to have you with us. We will be guestless today. I know yesterday I told you we would have Kara Amundson on, Murray State softball head coach. However, my mind had forgotten that they had scheduled an impromptu game, which we told you about yesterday. It just didn't click. And coaches, they just don't like doing, and we never ask for interviews on the day they play games. And this was one where Kara was supposed to be on earlier in the week and developed laryngitis to the point where she was having a tough time even getting words out, so pushed it back to Thursday. And at that time, that was not an issue, but the weather turned it into an issue because they decided to not play the Western games, which were moved to later in the month, and they added the game against SIU. And that left that being a game day. So working with Parker Griffith. Appreciate Parker working this all out for us. And Kara will be on Monday's show. And hopefully we'll be able to talk to her about a lengthy winning streak as the Racer softball team will play today at 3:30 against SIU. And then they have the doubleheader in Nashville Saturday against Tennessee State. And then Sunday they're back home against Belmont. And this was about the time of the year that Murray State really took off in softball. Now, they're not having the kind of year that you might think, and we'll talk about that with Kara on Monday. Last year, 38-19, but they lost two major bats out of their lineup, and they just really haven't been able to recover from that, at least to this point. Mo Ramsey, who no softball player in Murray State history has more hits than her, and Alexa Becker, who also could mash it. Then they lost their number one pitcher, Cheyenne Gaskey. Now, Mason Robinson's done a pretty good job for them. But kind of the downside, we're going to try to find out some of the reasons why. And hopefully Monday, that'll all be sort of moot as maybe these players will start mashing it. But Jessica Twaddle, who was phenomenal last year, batted .426. And, you know, that's tough to duplicate. I'm not saying that. But down to .327 this year. So that's a 100-point dip heading into today's game. And then Maggie Glass, .327 last year, provided a ton of power, 16 home runs. She's at .167 right now with just a couple of homers. So we'll try to get to the bottom of that, see if it's just kind of an early season slump, if injuries have played a role. We'll find out more about that when we visit with Kara coming up next week. But if you can, be sure to support the softball team as they are in action today at Racer Field at 3:30 against SIU. And I realize many of you may not be able to make it to Nashville. I get that. But they will be back home to take on Belmont on Sunday. Now, softball, that is my granddaughter's favorite sport. And I've had to promise her that I will be bringing her to softball, so we may be trying to make it for Sunday's games. I think today, with her school, will be a little bit too tough to probably cut today. But probably on Sunday, I may end up having to take her and watch some softball. And that's a good day, especially when you're watching the Racers, a very talented team. Murray State baseball with a big night last night, as they avenged a loss last week to SIU by beating the Salukis last night. Kip Moore was terrific, 2-for-4, had a pair of extra base hits, and he drove in 4 runs as Murray defeated SIU 7-3. They were up early. SIU came back to tie it, but then Murray pounced on them with 3 runs in the bottom of the 5th inning, I believe, and went on to the 7-3 victory. Racers now 15-17. Really good relief last night as 4 relievers combined to pitch 4 scoreless innings, or several relievers combined to pitch 4 scoreless innings. And Austin Dubsky picked up the win. Not perfect, but he did okay. He went 5 innings. He struck out a career-high 6. Definitely had the strikeout pitch working. And he picked up the win to improve to 3-3. This is a monster series for Murray State. And we talked earlier in the week with Coach Kevin Mulder about having to get some big wins, and this would be a nice series to take. Everyone wants to sweep. That's big, but it really comes down in baseball. Honestly, you're looking to win series. So it's a tough one. Jacksonville State, one of 2 teams unbeaten in league play. SEMO, the other one. And Murray State will take on Jacksonville State Friday night at 6 in the first of that 3-game series in Jacksonville, Alabama. Also yesterday, Murray State released its football schedule. You got it. The football schedule released yesterday, and head coach Mitch Stewart, pretty happy with it. In the release provided by GoRacers.com, He says, this, in my opinion, is a really tremendous schedule. We get to start off the year with a trip to Illinois, which will be a nice opportunity for our kids to experience Big Ten football and all the trappings that come with it. From there, we will have two non-conference games against a pair of schools from what many believe is the best FCS conference in the country. When you add to that the fact that we reignite a rivalry with a team that's a little over 100 miles from our front door, throw in five home games, and while it will no doubt be challenging, this schedule should be a lot of fun, not only for our guys, but for fans as well. And I like the schedule, and I know why you have to play money games. I don't ever argue with Alan Ward or the athletic director. Mitch Stewart doesn't either. We know that's what you got to do. Ideally, they'd like to get this to where they're just playing one. Have one big game, one big paycheck, instead of a couple of smaller paychecks. We all know things like this. Like, for example, unless something changes, this will be the last time Murray State will be able to play a Big Ten team, because the Big Ten's one of those conferences, they're not going to play FCS schools anymore. They didn't force those schools to make that immediate, you know, make them pay out games, but they're not allowed to schedule any, as of last year, on future schedules. This one was already scheduled. So this is an opportunity that's kind of going down. Now, other schools haven't done that, or other conferences haven't done that. SEC, as of right now, they're still scheduling. But there are, I think, a couple, and I think the Big Ten, I believe there's one other. This happened last year. I don't remember the other one. That are not going to play the FCS schools. And you have to realize that from a financial standpoint, this is the lifeblood for a lot of schools, getting that paycheck. And I don't know the amount of this one. We'll find out it somewhere down the road. But usually for the Big Ten, you're looking at $400,000 and up, sometimes maybe $500,000. And not sure if that's what this is, but it is a pretty good amount. You can bet on that. But the thing I like about this schedule, it doesn't have two of those FBS paycheck games. And to me, that's good for the team. But it also doesn't have the hesitate to call them sisters of the poor, but they're the games where you know you're probably going to win if you play well. It's a team sort of like we are when we go and play Illinois. Not to say we couldn't win, but the odds stacked against us. And the same for the smaller schools that come here and try to play Murray State. Not to say they can't win, but the odds certainly are stacked against them. They get a little bit of money from us, which comes from the money from above. But there are none of those this year. I like that. We play home and home with Missouri State, and those have been entertaining games. Those are long trips, though. I know when we make that return trip to Springfield, that is a long trip, and it's going to be long for them to get here. But we play Missouri State, and then the next week, that's our home opener, it is Southern Illinois. Good to have them back on the schedule. For a long time, they wouldn't play us in football, and here's the reason I remember when Jerry Kill was the head coach there. There was an injured player, and he felt the Racers injured the guy purposely. We say that didn't happen. A look at the film showed it didn't look like that. It was what happened either. But anyway, they decided they wouldn't play us in football, and there you have it. And that was during the Joe Panunzio era, I believe. But they're back on the schedule. To me, this makes sense. You have a good rivalry, for them. They don't have to seek out, pay a big paycheck to anybody. They have to come and play here. It doesn't take long. Winnable game for Murray State. Winnable game for Southern Illinois, as they have a new coach, and I like that. The OVC opener will take place at home September 24th against Southeast Missouri. And this is a schedule that alternates home road, home road, home road throughout the season. On the road the next week at Austin Peay. Then the week of October 8th, that is an off week, a bye week. Then Murray returns home on the 15th to play UT Martin. They go on the road the 22nd to take on Eastern Illinois. Back home for Tennessee State the 29th, November 5th. It's Eastern Kentucky. And that's in Richmond. Seven flights of stairs and ramps. I can't wait for that. And then Jacksonville State, a home game November 12th, and the Racers will close it out at Cookeville in Tennessee Tech on the 19th of November. this is, as we talked about with Ed Marlowe yesterday, talked with Mitch Stewart. We're talking a lot of football this week with the spring drill starting for Murray State. A lot of I don't know here, because there's a bunch of players who just simply aren't here yet that are going to be members of the team. The JUCO guys. Also, we have freshmen, some who will play a role. And you can bet there will be another bowl division transfer or two that will be on the team. So it'll be different, but offensively, you're definitely going to have, to me, some great talent with the new running back, Mark Dodson, who was ineligible last year. You got KD Humphreys coming off a really terrific season, one of the most talented quarterbacks in FCS. So you're going to have KD in there as well. And the question is, be who he's going to throw to. Jesse Blackburn, to me, he could have a big year, but they got to find some other bodies, and that's something that Murray State has been really good at doing. That's coming up with the receivers and getting guys who can be impacts. So somebody else is going to have to step up along with Blackburn. You need several threats, and we know he's one of them. But offensively, as usual, I'm not very worried about Murray State football. It's defensively, will they make strides this next season? We saw some strides last year, definitely much more competitive, but still needs, you know, still some work to do. And I love Chris Boone as the defensive coordinator. I mean, he has a mindset. He knows what has to be done, but it's like any other sport. You have to have better players to do a better job. Generally, there is just so much you can do with what you have, and they recruited hard toward that end. And I think it'll be an exciting product this year, and especially offensively. If the defense can make maybe a little bit more progress this season, who knows? This could be a terrific year for Murray State football. I'm certainly ready for that to happen. All right, a lot of news dropping yesterday. Besides that, we had the OVC announcing their Golfers of the Week, and Murray State's Moa Folk is the Golfer of the Week on the female side, the Swedish sophomore winning that for the second time this year. She also won it back on September 30th. Shares the award this week with Tennessee Tech's Allison Dunn. Folk finished second at her tournament this past weekend, and Murray State will be back in action along with Folk. They'll host the Jan Weaver Invitational at Miller Memorial here in Murray, out on Pottertown Road, Friday and Saturday, with an 8:30 shotgun start each day. Kentucky point guard Tyler Ulis, we knew this was coming, and it was an accurate story as it turned out. He declares he'll enter the NBA draft. He's the third Wildcat over the past week to announce his intention to turn pro. Ulis, an AP first-team All-American and the AP SEC Player of the Year. I don't watch a ton of UK basketball, but in the postseason I saw him play, and that's enough for me. If I didn't know his status in terms of how good he was, I was very convinced. As far as his first team All-American status, really can play well, like what he does in making his team better. Good court sense. University of Louisville, they're going to take two scholarships away from their men's basketball team and impose recruiting and visiting sanctions. The school waits for an NCAA report into recruiting violations, and they're trying to stay ahead of them, of the NCAA. They know it's coming. Louisville's already banned its team from tournament play. They did that this past year after that sex scandal erupted, and Louisville added the new punishments yesterday. When the smoke clears from this, will there be additional sanctions by the NCAA? I don't know. That's something I really can't tell you. But it's an awful situation. I know when I first heard the story, it was so bizarre. You think, there's no way. There's no way that happened. And it turned out it did. And so Louisville investigates. And when you're doing all this to yourself, you know, there's a lot to it. It's not just something that they expect to be blown off by the NCAA. They expect serious consequences, and they're taking some of the actions themselves. But I assume there'll be some more coming. Jacksonville State has a basketball coach, and you know him. Former Western Kentucky University head coach Ray Harper is the new coach at Jacksonville State. Harper spent the previous five campaigns with the Hilltoppers. His teams have really a good overall record, 90-62, but postseason-wise, after success the first 2 years when WKU went to the second round of the NCAA tournament in the first two seasons after surprising wins in the Sun Belt Conference. Western never got back to postseason play the last 3 years. And to me, sort of a microcosm of what Western had this year, they were at the same tournament where we played in Florida, and we saw them in one game. My gosh, they looked terrific. They looked as good as any team down there. Saw them another game, and they didn't look very good at all. And they were really up and down this year. They have a good stretch and a bad stretch. A little bit like the Racers this year. Racers sort of had kind of the same thing going. They had a tough time stringing a lot of wins together. Never really lost a bunch, but it turned out to be. Racers had a pretty good reason, though. With what they lost, they had injuries in for Western. They didn't have as much. They did have a little bit of turmoil on the team. They did have a player leave during the season, and then had some other players who were suspended at the end of the season. We'll see what Rick Stansbury is able to do. But Ray Harper, the new guy at Jacksonville State, and this is a school you can't really – I don't want to say they don't take their basketball seriously because that would be unfair. But until this past year, you could take a look at the football facility and then walk into Pete Matthews Coliseum and you could use your own judgment. It's a major discrepancy. The football facility takes a backseat to zero, none, at the FCS level. And the basketball facility, it wasn't the best. However, significant improvements this past year. Greg Seitz, who was in the sports information department for years there, a terrific, terrific young man. He's now the athletic director, and he has a love for that school. He'll do a great job. I think, you know, he made a hire of a basketball coach that has had a proven track record at the Division II level with Kentucky Wesleyan, has been to the NCAA tournament. Right now, Jacksonville State would probably take winning seasons and contending for OVC championships. They want to get to that spot first before they can probably think of winning an OVC championship. And they believe Harper is the guy to do that. And he does have at least somewhat of a track record of success. Vanderbilt has its new head basketball coach, Bryce Drew. This had been rumored for about a week. Youngster at Valparaiso is now the head coach. Why do I call him a youngster? He's no longer young, but I saw him play when the Racers played Rhode Island in the NCAA tournament, which seemed like eons ago. We were in Oklahoma City, and that's where Bryce Drew made the shot. The play was Pacer. They beat Ole Miss on a buzzer beater. And I still have in my mind he's a kid, and I've watched him coach twice when the Racers played Valparaiso, so I'm not sure where I'm getting that, but anyway, the young man is now the head coach at Vanderbilt as he sticks with that way. If he has anything with a V on it, he can keep it. So that's kind of cool. Even the colors aren't that different. But he'll replace Kevin Stallings. Stallings taking his ball and going to Pittsburgh. Speaking of Pittsburgh, the Pirates completing a three-game sweep of the St. Louis Cardinals last night with a 5-1 win in Pittsburgh. And the Cardinals' offense is virtually non-existent, and they're striking out at a really alarming rate. Jeremy Hazelbaker hitting a solo home run last night. Mike Leake had some early control problems in the first inning. He ended up taking the loss. The Cardinals 0-3 for the first time since 2007. Let's check in with John and Rick.
With Rick Horton, I'm John Rooney, and in Pittsburgh last night, the Cardinals had a tale of two pitchers. One, Juan Nicasio, who retired 18 out of the 20 batters he faced in picking up a win. The other, picking up a loss, Mike Leake, threw more than 40 pitches in the first inning, and the Pirates won the game 5-1.
Nicasio is very, very good. He came out of the Dodgers bullpen from a year ago, and he's fitting right into this Pirate rotation. Had a terrific spring. Cardinals couldn't figure him out. He only gave up the two hits, and there were some bright spots. Matt Bowman out of the bullpen was one of them.
Another bright spot, Jeremy Hazelbaker. His first major league hit in game two, and then his first major league home run. That came off Nicasio as he got a start in center field. Hazelbaker came through with a homer.
He also made a nice play in center field, made a diving play in the early going, but that missile to right center, his first home run, very, very fun to watch.
The Pirates swept the series, winning 4-1, 6-5, and then 5-1 on Wednesday night. Airtime on Friday from Atlanta, on the air tomorrow at 5:40. Jaime Garcia against Matt Whistler.
And we'll have the game for you, all the games on WNBS. I do have to report, kind of hate to do this, but contracts are contracts. We will be bringing you the Cardinal game Saturday, tape delayed, so we can bring you the Frozen Four Championship. And that's through our contract with Westwood One. There's so many things they demand that we carry to get the NCAA tournament and to get the NFL football package. And this is one of those things that's kind of on the must-carry list. So we have to carry that live, and we'll delay the Cardinals game Saturday night. And that'll be the only delayed Cardinals game we'll have for you this year until Murray High football season. As you know, usually in August and September, there's a few of those. But we'll still bring you every game. There'll just be a few of those tape delayed. I believe we have 150-plus live ones, though, for you on 1340 WNBS. Speaking of the Frozen Four, it actually gets underway today. And if you're a college hockey fan, and who isn't in this area, Boston College takes Quinnipiac on today in the first of two semifinals, and we'll have that over on our sister station, 1130 WOFC. You can still hear the Travis Turner Show in its entirety over here. You'll hear the first portion of that on WOFC. Don't worry about it. Just check back on WNBS, and you can hear the entire show, but we will have to interrupt that and bring you the Frozen Four on WOFC Game 1. Now, Game 2 of the Frozen Four will be tonight. That airs at 7:15, and we do have that for you this evening on WNBS. And then the winners will meet for the National Championship for College Hockey Saturday. That one also will be on WNBS. Also, tonight, the Memphis Redbirds begin the 2016 season at home against Colorado Springs. First pitch at 7:05. Those teams play four times. Of course, we keep up with them more than we do the Nashville or Louisville teams, because that is the Cardinals' farm team. But I know Nashville, they also open the season tonight. And the Nashville Predators close out, well, at least the home portion of their schedule this evening, as they are in action. That is going to wrap up the Neil Bradley Show. We have a lot to get to tomorrow. Didn't get the high school softball and baseball. There really wasn't much to report yesterday. In baseball, it was Mail beating Tillman 6-1, then Tillman blanked Hazard 3-0. McCracken County over Somerset 5-3. In softball, McCracken County defeated Assumption 14-2, and Marshall County an 8-2 winner over Chockawatchee, Florida. High school baseball returns today, a regular season game today for Callaway County. They host Henry County there at Laker Field. And Murray High, after a day off yesterday, they swing back into action at the Cal Ripken Experience in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They will play Raceland today. That is going to wrap it up for our show. We'll give you the results and take a look at what's coming up on a really busy weekend with Murray State golf, softball, baseball, a very busy time. We'll talk all about it coming up on Friday's Neil Bradley Show at 1340WNBS.com.